Hello, Lifebookers from around the world, and thank you for tuning in to the Lifebook Member Podcast today for Parenting Month, July 2020. So excited for Parenting Month, and so excited to speak with our member of the month today. She is a parent herself. She's a mentor and a Lifebook ambassador and so much more. Catherine Cartwright is on the phone with us. How are you doing today, Catherine?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Are you excited to be here? You seem a little giddy.
I actually am. This is the one category that I score the highest on every time I take my assessment.
Oh, wow. Well, then great.
This is the perfect category for me.
Yeah, let's do it then. Before we dive in hard to the parenting category, can you start with a little bit of background on yourself personally, and then what led you to Lifebook?
Yeah, I actually had a whole series of life challenges, I'm going to say, that happened all back to back, which culminated in me basically feeling like my entire life had just fallen apart completely. I didn't remember exactly who I was anymore because of everything that had happened. Like I just was putting out fires so much that I needed something. And my kids needed me to have something too. Like four children, having a mom that is not functional was not helping them through my, their side of the divorce process.
So tough.
Consequently, yeah. And so I had found Mindvalley somehow, like it came into my life. And then Lifebook Online literally came into my life like 2 months after I had found Mindvalley.
Oh, wow.
So I went ahead and I did Lifebook Online and did the 6-week course online and continued through boot camp, which is now mastery, right? So did boot camp and then continued on staying on with the membership program because it really it was taking my entire life. And I won't say that I hadn't done personal growth and development type of things before, but Lifebook gave me that whole backbone to put everything in the right slots.
Wow.
And make it all work together. And as part of this entire process, my children got drug along into the Lifebook lifestyle, which...
That's what we'll be discussing today. That's part of what we'll be discussing today.
Exactly.
Which I'm really excited to talk about. But it sounds like you were in kind of a tailspin.
I was.
And it sounds like even though you had a lot of tools from the past, it sounds like Lifebook was really the thing you needed to kind of stabilize.
Yes, I really did. And then I really didn't feel... I mean, even with all of that, I was doing the monthly lifestyle and I just didn't feel like I had really, there wasn't something that was really still totally. And what I realized was I needed to do it. Like I jumped at the chance when John and Missy were offering a 4-day intensive in Chicago. That's when it all really clicked because up until that 4-day intensive and this goes along with all personal development things, in my personal opinion, is that when you're in your own house and you have to clean and you have to cook and you're taking care of kids and you've got your job, you're still scattered while you're doing all your personal development, right?
Yeah.
So when I went and did the 4-day intensive with John and Missy and Sandra, it all cohesively gelled at that point.
Took you over the top. I totally understand what you're saying.
It really did. And so it was really kind of that moved my needle so much more because by having 4 days where the cell phones were all turned off, there were no computers, I could really do a full deep dive.
Wow.
And it was so powerful.
So at what point was it like you were fully committed all in, not just to doing the programs, but it sounded like you wanted to get more involved in it, spread it, not just to your family, but to your friends and people around you.
When were you
fully committed?
It was really after that 4-day. I came back from that 4-day intensive, everybody was like, something, what did you just do? I didn't even tell anybody I was going to the 4-day intensive.
Wow.
Up until nobody knew I was going. I just was like, I just did this leap and I went.
That's wild.
I am not one of those impulsive people, but this was one of those where I knew,
Jeez.
Right? So,
wow, that's really cool.
So I went and I did it. So I went and I did it and it was amazing. But then I came back and everybody's like, oh my gosh, what did you do? And then I started talking about Lifebook to all of my friends and all of my family. And my kids had already been kind of pulled into the monthly rhythm anyway, because I had already been doing membership for a year before I went to do the 4-day intensive. But it was just absolutely. And then I was like, all I wanted to do was support other people in the Lifebook program. So when I was asked to be an ambassador, I was like, that also ended up being a nice. Total no-brainer for me. Like, yes, of course.
That's awesome.
I want to help everybody else because it has made such a huge shift in my life. Like it really has. Like I look back where I was 4 years ago, because I did Lifebook Online in 2017 during the spring, and it has totally shifted me. Like
full shift.
Totally shifted.
Holistic
me.
Shift, yeah. In all 12 categories. That's what we're looking for.
One
of the reasons, yeah, I'm excited to talk to you about in the parenting category, though, is it seems like to me, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of the times when I'm doing these interviews for a certain category, my guest will have really struggled before Lifebook and then come through the process and kind of recovered in a great way. And everybody loves that story. It sounds like prior to Lifebook, parenting was still your number one priority, maybe still your strongest category. And again, correct me if I'm wrong, but Lifebook can even still take something like that and bring it to a level you couldn't have imagined. Can you talk to me about your parenting before Lifebook and then after?
Yeah, I actually, and this goes along with the mentoring kind of, I have always thought children in general, which I did lots of work with Girl Scout troops even before my children decided to be Girl Scouts. Nice. But I have always been a big supporter of youth organizations, mm-hmm, because I know that schools can't do it all. And parents, when you've got working full time, it's hard to do, right? So for me, like, kids have always been like, if we don't help kids get better and support them however we can, then how are, you know, like, our society isn't going to keep progressing forward, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to go backwards 100%. Somewhere, somehow, like, the whole idea, right, of civilization is to progress. So for me, I've always been a strong supporter, even before I had my own children, of children getting extra, however I could help give extra.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
But I mean, here's the thing. Is it really extra? I mean, it's extra in our society now, but don't you feel like in a more, in an older society, a more tribal society, it shouldn't have to be extra?
No, it takes a village. It really does take a village. But our society right now in a lot of the civilized world, we don't have that village set up anymore.
We forgot. I don't think we realize how important it is.
No. And that's one of the things, like, for me. So my kids, like, I want them to, my personal four children, uh-huh, I want them to have better knowledge and better experiences and give them as many experiences and as much knowledge so that they can make their own better choices.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
My job as a parent is to make sure that they get to be an adult and alive.
Right. And competent integrity. And exactly. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And have the character traits that they need to be able to be amazing members of society.
Right.
Doing whatever they're going to do and however they're going to do it, and support them through whatever life lessons they're going to get to have.
Yeah.
Because we all get life lessons. So even if they learn from my mistakes, they'll make their own whole set of mistakes.
Right.
And that's okay. But I want to give them tools to be able to get there more easily.
Yes,
or
exactly.
At least be able to solve some of their issues more easily.
But it's so powerful when you expand it outside of just your immediate family. Everybody has that duty, but it gets so much easier if everybody is helping each other. It's weird. It's not twice as easy when you add one person to the equation. It's three times as easy. And if you have a whole group, a whole community, it makes things flow so much easier.
Yes.
I think that maybe we've focused our attention on very specific and strange things when we're raising our kids. You know, like, the whole false self-esteem movement comes up a lot on Lifebook. And you talk to Dr. Joel Wade, who knows what real self-esteem is. And we put a lot of energy and attention into that.
Yes.
But I feel like I feel like maybe that could have been better served in other areas, you know, in areas like personal growth, interpersonal relationships. And what that requires is adults, role models, reaching out and expanding their sphere of influence. Am I making any sense there?
Yes, it really it is. Like, because I have Girl Scout troops and I have girls in my Girl Scout. There are three different troops. So they're not all together in one troop, because that would be like 30 girls total in one troop, which would drive me crazy all at one time. But they range from first grade to 10th grade. So we're talking 5 and 6 year olds all the way up to 16 year olds that I work with on before COVID,
right,
every other week basis, right?
Right?
Those girls I have had in my troop for so long that they consider me like an aunt, a second mom.
Right.
I get to hear things that they're nervous about talking to their parents. And I tell them I have an open door policy. And as long as it's not something that's causing physical harm or something where I'm concerned about the emotional mental harm that you might, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, like if you're telling me that you're really super depressed, then I might say, I'll sit with you while you tell your parents if you need some extra support, but you need to, you know, I mean, like if there's something that's truly like a harm situation, mm-hmm. obviously
there's a responsibility there, but aside from that,
there's a responsibility for me then make sure that the parents also know.
But aside from that, you've opened a conduit.
Exactly. Because teachers don't have time for that at school. Mm-mm. Guidance counselors certainly don't have time for normal issues at school. They've got their hands full with all the other types of issues that mm-hmm. they've got to deal with. And so these children are basically having to kind of have their friends help them raise themselves,
yes.
which is really challenging.
That's what
right?
ends up happening, really. That's what ends up happening. That's true.
And so if I'm there and I'm an open door, then they can walk through that door whenever they want to.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, there have been things where we've had some discussions that I was like, I wasn't really prepared for this discussion
wow.
today. But yeah. you know what? It's okay, because obviously we need to have a discussion.
Yeah, that's life.
You know, I mean, there are certain discussions that I'm like, we really need to have us talk with your parents about this discussion, because there are just some areas where my personal viewpoint is definitely not going to necessarily mesh with their parents' personal viewpoints.
Well, there's no substituting is what you're saying. You can't fully
substitute. I'm not a substitute.
Right, it's a different
extra person.
Yes. Yes. And it's not just an additional in the same sense. It's a different, they'll come to you with things that they wouldn't
exactly.
come to their parents. I think there's a bit of a safety issue there. So much of children's well-being and emotion ties to safety. I think really just humans, we say children
yeah.
and we pretend like we grow up and we don't have these same very tender, you know, childlike feelings deep, deep at the center of our hearts, right?
Right.
In reality,
but we do.
It's yes. And in reality, it's a human tendency. And the more secure you become in yourself, then maybe there is really a maturing process there, maybe a bit. But my point is, I think that it's so important to provide a safe space while still building your child's resilience.
Yes.
Which is a tough task, you know what I mean? And by a child, this can be a relationship with, you know, anyone who is, I want to say younger than you, but honestly, just in a position that's less established than you. That's really what the mentorship is about.
Right. And that's the one thing that I really have. I do some safe fails, like with my Girl Scouts. We talk about a whole bunch of things and we do activities. And there are times where I intentionally don't try something out. I don't do something right. Like, and they catch me at it.
Hmm.
You know, one of my favorites was that every Girl Scout leader is like, oh, this Sharpie marker tie-dye thing with rubbing alcohol is great. No, it's really not great, because you have to have the right type of spray bottle and you have to have the right type of permanent markers, because Bic markers don't work the same way as Sharpie markers.
Mm-hmm.
But I took both because I had both. And I said, all right, girls, this is what we're doing. We were making t-shirt dresses that we were going to be sending overseas to a charity in Africa
for
little girls' dresses, right? So so the girls were making dresses out of these t-shirts. And the spray bottles just didn't spray enough to actually make the marker tie-dye. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what's our solution? I had 10 girls who sat down and they came up with the solution on their own. Mm-hmm. Like I was just there as the, and they decided we were taking them out and we were just going to basically pour and splash the rubbing alcohol onto the shirts on the sidewalk. And they turned out beautiful.
That's like, interesting.
But you know, that's like, that's one of those things where they're so used to thinking that adults in general have all the answers yes. and know everything. And that's one of those other things too, where like, for me, I'm pulling in Lifebook concepts yes. for them to be able to like solve solutions.
Critical thinking and
self-reflection,
exploration in these different areas. And school
exactly.
has completely, at least most American public school yeah. systems have really, really lost sight of that. And I don't even think that it's because of, you know, they're not good at what they do. I think it's more of like a litigious kind of regulatory environment that has just disallowed that sort of thing. You don't learn about critical thinking. You don't learn about relationships or money. And as soon as you get out of school, those are all the most important things you're supposed to be focused on.
Exactly. And we talk about those things.
Yeah.
Like we talk about what the purpose is behind why we need to eat healthy. It's not just because the teacher says we need to learn the food chart
so true.
Or plate or whatever yeah. it currently is,
oh, gosh,
you know,
yeah.
like, why is this important, girls? Well,
right.
because that's what we have to know. No, let's talk about the purpose behind this.
That's incredible.
Let's talk about how you want to look at this purpose behind the health and why you're doing gym. Let's not just talk about this is what we're doing because we're being told to do it.
I think that you probably deal. I think that you probably deal with a lot of beliefs. Do you use that word openly when you're talking about stuff like this with them? Do you try to
yes.
couch it in a less intellectual way, or do you just go straight for? Do you teach these girls limiting beliefs?
We do. We talk about
That's
it.
That's great.
We're talking about 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds who already have those limiting beliefs.
It's crazy. They form. They're just humans are little belief making machines, and so many
yes.
times they do not. They are limiting, and they do not serve us.
Exactly, And for me, I have a troop that ranges from the low end of the socioeconomic status to the higher end in the school district.
Oh, I imagine
so
that's a good
thing. I have a very yeah. mixed troop.
That's great.
And my older girl troop, we've had to have some discussions about their, you know, like, because they're teenagers, they're starting to have their gender identity questions.
Mm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
how do we know if we are or we aren't? And I flat out told them, until your hormones are done, let's not label yourselves.
That's
just
sweet.
Go with, you know, I mean, like
I like that
go
approach.
With who you are, because it's who you are.
There's so
Don't
much
put
pressure.
A label on
yes.
yourself.
Yeah, there's so much pressure on these kids. It's sad.
There really is. And you know, I really feel like these kids are labeling themselves.
All sorts of things, yeah.
On everything.
Yes.
And I really hate the fact that they're labeling themselves. So for me, like, I'm like, all right, let's ignore that label, you know, and everybody gets treated basically as similar as possible, you know, like,
right.
because our troop doesn't do things if all the girls can't afford to do it.
Right.
We come up with financial solutions.
That's sweet.
Which involve doing the Girl Scout cookie sale, of course, but we've done pot can drives, and the older girl troop just did a 4-day garage sale,
mm-hmm.
which was wonderful because all the parents were like, yes, we'll clean out our basements for you, because they wanted to be able to go see some Broadway musicals, which, you know, tickets are not inexpensive there. And
that's
and,
wonderful though. What a great,
and the, but, and yeah. the girls couldn't all afford to go if we hadn't done something like garage sales.
That's incredible.
We did the garage sales and all the girls pitched in and they all took their own shifts and they all were responsible for helping tag things. I mean, literally, I think they learned more out of the garage sale about retail than you would have learned if you were working as a retail clerk at Walmart. You know, I really do think that they learned a whole bunch about in a very safe environment because there was no fail to it. Like anything that they did was going to be better than it they had before.
Mm-hmm. That's so absolutely right. And it's just many, many different ways that you're showing that this relationship can be, I mean, not just impactful. It can be what defines a human being sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've seen some experienced relationships with these children where you've experienced that. I feel bad because I feel like we've just withdrawn further and further away from that. Maybe somewhere between stranger danger and screen addiction. I feel like, right? Is there, and I don't want to disparage anyone here by using terms and things like that. But what I'm saying is I think that that combination has put us in a place to where there is no interaction anymore between a role model adult and a young child who's looking for a role model. It's so rare.
It is. And it's really like, I don't want to say that it's impossible, but before I had children and before I was married, I worked with young ladies and mm-hmm. some girls because they were still little. It was an outreach Girl Scout troop. It wasn't a normal Girl Scout troop. These girls have been removed from their parents' homes for whatever reason. And they were in this location for however long until they were placed in foster care homes.
Jeez.
Sometimes they were there for 6 months. Sometimes they were there for 2 weeks. Like every week, my co-leader and I would walk in and we had no idea how many girls we really were going to have that day. And we had no idea how many, you know, whether we were going to have a calm day or whether one of the girls was just going to lose it out of the blue because she just had some sort of a emotional thing happen.
That's a hard job, Catherine.
It was. But, you know, honestly, when we walked in, almost every time the girls, even the ones who were having a rough day and were just like, they were upset about whatever, they were able to spend that hour with us doing our Girl Scout troop activities.
Mm.
And go away smiling most of the time.
Mm, they're looking
but
for
that
something.
Was,
yeah.
That's one of those things where, I mean, yeah, I had to go through background checks and some extra security checks because of the fact that they were, you know, high risk type of girls, but it was rewarding, you know, because they need something and they need some support outside of who they had been around to see that there are adults who care. And it's not necessarily that they didn't think their parents cared. It's just the situation at home was such that it wasn't a good situation at home, which is why they were removed. And sometimes they'd be like, you know, mom doesn't care or dad doesn't care. And I would look at them and I'm like, don't say that because I'm pretty sure that they care at some level, but right now, the spot that they're in, they can't support you too.
Mm. They need to hear that. It's such a crucial, they need someone to step in there. And like you said, you're doing an incredible thing. And the real irony, the real joke of it is that that's the whole meaning of life right there. Right, Catherine? Like once you've experienced that, helping someone else in such a way, I mean,
yes.
It all ties together with what you were saying before about rich and poor and all of these labels. That's the real secret to life and the secret to happiness. And the real joke of modern life and America is the values that we hold with the, you know, the fast car and the hot youthful body and the piles upon piles of money and the drugs and alcohol. Those are not viable paths to happiness.
No.
None of them are. And the real path to happiness lies in things that are much, much cheaper. Much, much cheaper.
Yeah.
Things like a walk with a troop of young people, like things like a sunset, things like a long lasting relationship.
Yeah.
They take a little bit of work, they take persistence, and sometimes they take bravery, like what you were describing, your position. Not always, but sometimes they take those things. But that's how you get happiness. That really is. This Instagram flashy, experience-based happiness is false, it's faulty, and I cannot wait for popular society to catch up to that fact and tear it down. I really am excited for that day.
I have to admit, like, that's the reason why my children and I have a family life book. Because my life book is all about me, right? I mean, like, like, especially the first five categories, those are all me, basically. Right. I mean, my kids fall into part of the reason why, you know, part of my reasons why and part of my strategies.
No, but those are your personal categories. Those are, yeah.
Those are my personal categories.
Totally.
We talk about love. Obviously, they've seen the ugly side of a love relationship that did not work. And so we talk about what makes good relationships in general.
Wow.
You know, like,
that's powerful,
like,
man.
What they want to look for mm-hmm. in their friends and in their future partners, whoever they may be, you know, like, what makes a good friendship and a good relationship? And what do you need to do to be comfortable and happy in that relationship? Mm-hmm. Like, you can't do anything about the other person, but you can make the choices as to how you're going to act and interact with that person. So our love relationship month is just talking in general about love and our own self-love and how we don't want to do harm to others. Mm. But we also want to make sure that we are doing the best we can.
No.
In the parenting category, we talk about what I can do. I let them give me 365 degree feedback here. Like, I'm normally the parent, right? But during our parenting category month in our family life book, they tell me what they would like me to do better for them.
Wow.
Now,
that takes bravery as a parent to listen to that.
Well, I will say, when I first started, my youngest was 3. He's now 7, but my youngest was 3. And some of the things he said as a 3-year-old, they kind of hurt.
Zero filter.
Because zero filter whatsoever. You know, I mean, but now that he's 7, and my oldest is 15 this year, and she's amazing. Like, I have seen her growth through the life book process, and they don't watch the videos that, you know, John's great and wonderful, but they're like way over his
head. No,
he talks, listen, way over like little kids' heads.
Listen, if I can just interject for just a moment here, we've been hard at work wrapping the life book system in a format that is digestible for younger people, whether that's life book for kids, life book for teens. We've looked at this from a bunch of different angles. There's a bunch of stuff going on with the company, but this is on our list of to-dos. We've done a trial run before. It was it was hit or miss. You know, the older kids were all on board. Some of the middle kids, the younger kids were like, what are we doing here? We understand that we need to repackage it and formulate it in a way that is more digestible. And we're totally working on that. But just the fact that they are keeping up with the process inspires hope for me and is a little bit surprising. I know for me personally, when I was very, very young, I didn't want to sit through a lot of this personal development stuff. But if you lead by example, I imagine that they would want to do it with mama.
Well, they do. And what we do is I take the concepts and I put them down into experience concepts that they've already had or their friends have already had. So again, this is where I kind of had like this little extra bonus by being a Girl Scout leader, right? Because I already have the training into how to give these experiences. Because mm-hmm. you don't just do Girl Scout leader stuff. No, you go and take classes and how to work with kids. And I mean, I'm not a teacher. I honestly had no desire to be a teacher. Like, I come from a long line of teachers. My brother is a professor. Huh. Like, I just happened, that's not who I am, but I really feel like I can take something that's my concept and I know what experiences they've had and we talk about it. So in some cases, in the case of our family life book, we talk about our quality of life category in every single one of the first five categories. Mm. Not because I don't think that they really understand, but that quality of life is the carrot at the end of the stick, right? To get them to really think about why we need to eat healthy and why we want to take those daily walks and why we want to learn new things, because that means that then we know what else we want to add to our quality of life. You know, I mean, like, so there's kind of like for them, they need a little bit more of a reward mm-hmm. brought into each of the categories. Mm-hmm. Whereas we as adults, we have the reward, like we know what the rewards are going to be. So we already have a better idea of that motivation, but kids have the attention span of gnats, right? So maybe fruit flies, they need something to keep them motivated.
Totally.
So like our quality of life activities for the year, we separate out into months so that we can actually like if they want, our quality of life has a lot of experiences in it. Like they want to go to museums and they want to go to the zoo and they want to, you know, like that's part of what they envision our quality of life is. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to provide that. We just have to have a discussion of, well, if we do our walks every day for the next 3 weeks, then we'll go do one of our quality of life activities.
That's awesome. I love that.
Like it's a short-term stick,
but it's part but it's still part of a cycle, of like, right?
But it's part of the cycle.
Yeah.
And so we actually, for our first month, actually ends up really being our quality of life discussion.
It's my favorite month.
So we're it's quality of life. We just end up shifting concepts, and so for them, quality of life is actually our first category, because then we build all the other categories on top of.
That's fascinating.
The year's quality of life.
That is really fascinating. And you know, that's right. It's about getting them in the cycle, but keeping them engaged. Because if you're on a month by month cycle, sorry, kids, we'll do that again next year. I think that it's a very adult, the way we format membership and mastery, it's a very adult system. So I like the kind of shrinking it down, getting them in the cycle, but still keeping them interested.
Yeah. Well, and we talk about our financials, we have a monthly family meeting mm-hmm. where we discuss the financials
wow.
at their level.
How do they feel about that? That's really interesting. I mean, because listen, what's the alternative? Usually they just ask at dinner one day, one random day, right?
Right.
Or they hear you arguing about it from across the house, right? I guess it's a better alternative to that. I'm trying to imagine how that would go down.
Well, actually, this is what started making it more feasible and more understandable for them. So health and fitness gets tossed out the window for our family meeting, just stating that right now. I go and get like the big jumbo bag size of M&Ms. Right.
You
and I divide it
do.
Up into piles. I divide it up into piles saying, this is what our expenses are. Like this pile has to go to pay all the utility bills. And this pile goes to pay all
oh
of this.
God, you're such a and good parent.
These are these are the M&Ms that are left for us to do fun things this month. So what are we doing with, like, so that they have like a visual idea.
That's fascinating.
And a reward afterwards, because then they get to eat all the.
Of course,
like,
they eat it at the end. You don't
put it
back.
M&Ms at once, but we can't put them back in the bag.
No.
So they get to have M&Ms then, but or sometimes we do chocolate chips or like I'll let them randomly choose a different something if they're tired of M&Ms.
This is a monthly thing.
It's a monthly thing because that way they understand that I'm not saying no because of.
You're mean.
Just to say
or,
no.
Yeah, totally,
I mean,
exactly.
And I'm horrible. No, it's because this money has this pile of M&Ms is what's paying
right.
for the roof that we're
it's already
living
accounted
under.
For. Yes, yes, exactly.
And unfortunately, this pile of M&Ms has to be smaller this month because we have to go buy new clothes because you all grew.
Right. But they understand That's so key, Catherine. That's so key. It's about that understanding. But there's one thing that you really can't replace, which is this all takes time. And it does. There's so many things, Catherine, where if you're good enough at it, it becomes quicker and easier. And it's what a wonderful way to operate. You just get better at the thing and then you get more done. With kids, it's really, I mean, okay, you can definitely get better at teaching kids and get things across faster, but this is really not what it's about. It's about sitting with them. It's about regular, putting in the time.
Oh, yes.
Not trying to rush through the conversation, fully letting them grasp it, answering all of those questions, those follow-up questions. Why? I'm in the why phase right now with my little girl.
Right.
And you know what? I've just made a commitment to. I almost never say no more whys, unless it gets really ridiculous. It's important to answer every one of those.
My response always was like, we're at the end of my answers for why. I don't know why else why. If I can't get past this why. You can ask me that why, but yes. I'm to the point where I don't have a good answer anymore.
That's exactly right. So I think what you really can't replace, I love your strategies. I love your philosophies, and everyone's going to have slightly different philosophies. And I know that they're going to pull really good things from this interview, but what you really cannot replace, no matter what, is that time, that sitting together, phone down, TV off.
Right.
Time. Do you agree with that?
Totally. And I also have to say, so we have our once a month family meeting. After that family meeting, it's electronic free day.
Nice.
We don't pick up electronics for the rest. And it's always a Saturday where we do it like kind of first thing in the morning.
Wow.
Two children of mine drink purity coffee with me on Saturday mornings.
God, I swear to God, we're not. This is all organic. People are sick of hearing about purity on Lifebook, but it's just because it's such good coffee, you guys. I swear, we didn't talk about this beforehand.
The other two have hot chocolate because they are not coffee drinkers. But we'll sit down and we will have this family meeting over our hot chocolate and coffee, and literally we have the family meeting, and then the rest of the day is electronic free. We sit and we play board games, we go for walks, we go, and one Saturday we spent 6 hours doing nothing but painting canvases. It just totally depends, and
that's
they
lovely.
Choose the activities. Each one of them gets to choose what they want to do. So they each kind of get a 2 hour chunk of time during Saturday to say, this is what we want to do. Mm. And, you know, like they know the family meeting is coming up and they know that they're getting to choose. And so the week before, when I'm like, all right, do we need supplies? What supplies do we need for next week? So that I have time to get them.
You're teaching them so many things. Do you grasp the different, you're teaching them delayed gratification, and you're teaching them scheduling, and you're teaching them preparation.
Well, if I don't do this, they don't have those skills when they leave my house.
Yes, precisely.
And that's what I want them to have. I want them the skill sets that they need so that they are capable adults of handling whatever life throws at them.
100%.
And that doesn't mean I'm not going to be there to support them as long as I'm on this planet. Like I thoroughly intend to support them in whatever they need from me, but
I want them
to not ever feel like they can't manage to make decisions on their own.
You're exactly.
And they can't manage to do what they need to do on their own.
You're like, describing Nathaniel Brandon's definition of self-esteem right there, right? The competency to deal with the challenges of life.
Yes.
That's real self-esteem right there.
It is. It is. And I have watched my children grow and navigate through learning the Lifebook process.
I love that, Catherine.
With me. The only thing they didn't get was the 4-day intensive.
Well, let me ask you this. When it comes around to that monthly meeting, give me an honest assessment. What is their attitude like? Are they excited for the meetings? Do they know they have to do it and they come dutifully? How does it go down?
Well, that's what the M&Ms are for. They get a little happier about the M&Ms,
nice.
Right?
You know,
so that they know they're getting some gratification out of having to sit and have this discussion.
But I bet if you phased those M&Ms out, I bet they would still show up. The older they get, I think.
The older they get, yes. Like and that's the other thing. Like we have created this entirely open space and conversation space where they know that they're going to tell me, and this goes along with, because I'm the Girl Scout troop leader, right? So my children don't benefit from not talking to mom and talking to, talk, talking to the Girl Scout leader, right? So they get mom and Girl Scout leader all rolled in one. But they've over time, we've discussed it. And I've told them, you know, you don't have the benefit that the other girls do. Where, I mean, I've got a co-leader, but there's a different interaction there with my co-leader, for the older two at least. And so we talked about it, and I said, okay, so I want you to tell me what you need to tell me. And even if I'm not going to like what you're going to tell me, because I'm mom, I will sit and I will hold my tongue until you finish.
Wow.
And then sometimes I might have to count to 100 before I say something, just depending on what you've told me. But I want you to tell me what you need to tell me. Like, the only time they truly have a true punishment, and their punishment generally is their rooms look like raccoons that have moved in. We need to sweep the floor. You're giving me your electronics until the room is clean. You know, I mean, like that's really the worst punishment that they normally get. Because most of the time we talk about why they did what they did or why they said what they said. And they know that there's a consequence of some disappointment. But most of the time, because I've been working with them to make good decisions and know that their choices have consequences, most of the time they know. I mean, even my 7-year-old knows.
Right.
Which is so different from the rest of their friends in a lot of cases.
Yes, definitely. I'm worried. I'm worried about this next generation. I feel everyone felt that way, but I really am.
Well, and that's why mentoring is so important to me, as well as being a parent, because if you don't take the time when you have the time and ability to mentor somebody else, that's a child, to show them that there are adults who care and give them another way to view the world when you can. I mean, sometimes I don't have as much time as I would like to really have those one-on-one conversations with every girl in the troop. Like, it just doesn't always work. But the flip side is that if we don't have those conversations and they just feel like they're being shuffled from home to school to teachers who are so busy and overwhelmed and overworked that they don't have time to really focus on children's emotional needs.
Yes.
Or God forbid, they don't even notice that the child has an emotional need because they've just got too many kids in a classroom, or the parents are working two jobs just trying to make ends meet because of decisions they made. That's when kids start feeling like nobody cares and they start relying on their friends to help them make decisions,
yes.
Which, you know, we know that, you know, all those studies say we don't know how to really make rational decisions till we're 25. And if that's the case, I don't want my children not to be able to make better decisions. They still may not be rational, but I want better decisions.
Just better. Better. Like you said, better than I made. I remember my thinking brain back then and the headspace that I was in when I was, I don't know, 17, 18 years old, and just like frightening. So I think that's why there's a little bit of that, is because we all see it within us. But you leave a beautiful message, which is you just have to do a little bit better, right? And move one step forward for society. I think that's a beautiful, purpose.
Yeah. As long as we're taking one step forward with each child that we touch, whether they're our own or mentoring or potentially a grandchild even. Because I'll admit, like, and I'm sure that this is the case for most people, grandparents had time to actually spend with their grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And so villages had the grandmothers taking care of the kids. And we don't have that perfectly now because of the way our mobile society is in the world. But you could have that sort of relationship with a neighbor child, maybe, or somebody who you happen to see at church or some other activity that you'd go to regularly, that child is there, and it's not hard. Literally, sometimes it's just a 10-minute conversation that makes a difference.
Yes.
And you don't realize that it's that 10-minute conversation that has just shifted that child's perspective.
So true. That's absolutely
And so
true.
If I can give my four biological children one step forward, and I've got 30 girls in my Girl Scout troops at the moment that I can help take that one step forward. And if they take 2, 3, 4, 10, 100, I will be ecstatic, you know, but I'm happy with one step forward because that one step is more than what it was before.
100%. This was wonderful, Catherine. Thank you for sharing everything today and for spending this time with me.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
It was lovely, wasn't it? I feel like this is a chat between friends.
And that's what Lifebook does, right? It brings all of us together, actually. And I have to admit, some of my favorite people on the planet are people I've met through Lifebook.
Oh, that's wonderful. We love hearing that. And it's been the same for me. I mean, obviously, it's been so incredible with this journey. I think that the listeners are probably wondering where they can find more of you. I imagine you're going to be busy with your Girl Scout troop, but do you have anything you can give out? Obviously, up in the Mind Valley membership group, but anywhere else you can find you?
I actually am starting to create a blog.
Yes, this is what I was hoping for. Okay, give out your blog.
I'm starting to create a blog. And the reason I'm starting to create the blog is because over the last several years, not only has Lifebook presented a whole bunch of books to me to enhance, but I've also, you know, found other resources. And so as part of my journey, I want to help people. So I'm starting a blog and it's at writeadream.life. And so it's going to be filled with books that have helped me on my journey, not only healing from my divorce and because that was a big healing experience, but it also is so that I feel like that will be, there were things in those books and I want to be able to share what those books did for me, not just this is a great book to read. And I also, as part of that blog, I also have been writing in co-authored books. So I also have a couple books out on Amazon right now, and I have a couple more coming out between now and August. So
love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Love it. I would love to see you do a podcast or something. Maybe we can talk down the road about that, but hopefully the Lifebookers will give you a follow at your new blog.
Yes. And down the road. Yes, for sure. Just I'm getting certain things off my plate so that I have space to do other things.
Oh, so. Yeah. Of course. Well, let us know how we can help you. I'm always here to help. Yes, that is the Lifebook lifestyle. Exactly. Let us know how we can help you. I'm always here to help you, Catherine.
Okay, wonderful.
Awesome. Okay, that was today's parenting episode. Thank you so much one more time, Catherine. It was lovely spending this time with you.
It was wonderful.
All you Lifebook listeners, thank you for joining us today. We'll let you go. I hope you're having a wonderful time crafting your life vision out there in the world. Have an extraordinary day, everyone. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.